The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
All right, welcome to Mulligans. And is this Celebration or is it Kissimmee?
I have no idea.
Well, why does like half of the GPS say Kissimmee and half say, yeah, it's a mindset. One, I have two phones, one said Kissimmee. What, so you say Celebration? Yeah. Are you from here?
Yeah.
With that accent? There's no way you're from here with that. What is that, New Jersey?
Yeah.
Is it English? Another shrimp on the barbie, mate. Who's your favorite soccer team, real quick? I love, first of all, well, welcome, all you first responders. Welcome to Celebration. Yes. Yes. Beautiful crowd tonight. I never knew that Orlando was so diverse. Very diverse crowd tonight. For all of those who say that policing is whitewashed, look around. No, it's not. We have some gays in the crowd. Raise your hands. There he is. We have some gays. Thank you. Looks like we have one black cop here. That's great. So that's checks that block.
One.
Checks that block. Got a crippled one up front, too. There we go. Checks that block. So, I mean, the diversity in here is insane. So whoever said it's not diverse, well, they're wrong. I'm kidding. I only joke. Wait, do we have any state troopers, though? That's the real question. Are you serious?
Brian,
there's one. Boo. Poor form. Hey, we're tolerant, Orlando, but we're not that tolerant. Get out. I want to do an experiment. Everybody stare at the state trooper for just a minute in silence. Just stare at him. Do you know how that feels? You see how awkward that is? That's how we all feel when you're behind us. Yeah, I bet it does. We fucking hate it. And like when I was a cop in my cop car and a state trooper got behind me, I was like, fuck, what did I do? No, I'm just kidding. We all like you. It's like Marines. We tolerate you. We tolerate. But speaking of, is there any military in the house? Military? We got one here. All right. Thank you for your service. Oh, we got another one here. Thank you for your service. All right. Do we have any Marines? Oh, God. Really?
The state troopers
at the
military.
The state troopers. Get these guys some crayons. Hurry. Before they get all rapey on us. I actually talked to an MP. But you know Marines, they can be. But you know what? That's how I want my Marines, honestly. I want them a little racist, a little rapey, because that's what's going to keep us from talking Chinese in the future. You know what I mean? Like, you want them to have some... You want them a little war crimey. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm joking. I'm joking. We love you guys. I came from a different era in the military when that stuff was okay. You know what I mean? They were like, have you ever committed war crimes? You're like, no. They're like, have you ever thought about it? You're like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, okay. Yeah, we could talk. Yeah, we can work with that. Yeah, we'll get you there. Now it's like, have you ever thought about war crimes? You're like, yes. They're like, get out. Oh, man. This is going to be a good night tonight. Did you guys have fun at the street cop training seminar? Yeah. Who had to pay for it? Show of hands. A couple of you guys out of your own pockets? Man, that is fucking awesome. Listen, for those of you that are civilians in here, what is it, like $1,000 a ticket?
No, 700.
That's close enough to 1,000. Let's round it up. I'm trying to get you guys some free beers tonight. No, I'm just kidding. These guys are cops. A lot of you, they're all volunteer. You guys all volunteer. Nobody was forced to come to this conference, correct? Was anybody forced to be here? So you guys are already cops. Everything's against your wheels. Hey! Man, I'm glad she's got a good heart because I would be canceled really quickly. Well, this is going out, so There's evidence. But a lot of these guys, you have all these guys are all street cops, detectives, and the whatnot, and you guys all volunteered to get additional training. Some of you paid $700 when everybody else is trying to defund you and shit on you. You guys are scraping up your funds, leaving your wives with your five kids and your girlfriends to come out here to Orlando and meet new girlfriends and do street country. I think that's fucking noble, though. That's awesome. I really appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. And listen, if you're a former cop, is there any former cops in here, like retired formers? Just me? Man, well, fuck all. I always say if you're a retired cop, former cop, medically retired cop, and you're in the room with another real cop, that guy should be buying the beers for the real cops, not the other way around. And I know some guys are like, I'm retired. You should buy it. No, you don't need it. Yeah, you've earned it, but you don't need it. The street cops, they need it. You guys see a lot of crazy shit every single day. You're dealing with it all. The religions, the politics, all of it. It's all on your shoulders. So if you are not a cop or you're retired or whatever, buy these gentlemen a beer. Do not make them buy you a beer. You buy it for them. They're the ones that need it. You're retired. Go play golf. You'll be fine.
You're the only one that's retired, so you buy a beer?
God, I know, dude. This is getting expensive quick, right? I thought about it before I said it, and I was hoping there would be more than one. Anyway, we appreciate Mulligan's for letting us be here tonight. This is all brought to you by the Anti-Hero Podcast. It's the newest podcast on the C-Minus Media Network, where Failure to Stop podcast is under. They are blowing up rapidly with crazy content, really just kind of breaking all of our hearts, right? We fall in love with some of these heroes, and then they tell us how shitty of people they are, and then we're sad about it, but then we're like, wait a minute, you guys are the heroes now. It's like a real Batman story. We have Brent Tucker. If you don't know who Brent Tucker is, owner, First Responder, Coffee Company, Cigar Company, and the man who killed Bin Laden. Round of applause.
You guys heard it first.
He killed Bin Laden. I'm just kidding. He did not kill Bin Laden, but he knows the guy who didn't kill Bin Laden, technically. And they talked about that on their show. But no, if you don't really know who he is, he was the lone survivor of a very... No. God damn it. Well, I'm embarrassed. No, Brent Tucker, Delta Force operator, serving in America's most elite unit, took it upon himself with his co-host here and partner in crime, active street cop SWAT dog, Tyler. And they formed a podcast called the Anti-Hero Podcast, where they tell the real story of what happened. They're our first guests up here tonight. By the way, if you're not familiar with Failure to Stop, we're the number one channel where first responders go to be informed and entertained 5 days a week. It's not a show about cops. It's just a show for cops. We give you political news on Wednesdays, society and culture on Mondays, true crime on Tuesdays, sports on Thursdays, breakdowns on Fridays. So you have something to listen to in your cop cars while you're working those 13-hour shifts. And it gives you something else to talk about other than dead babies and domestic violence. So take a listen. But the Anti-Hero Podcast, guys, the first guest up here tonight, I have to start off with a question for you. Brent Tucker, Delta Force operator, which I think is cool to say, right? What gives you the right? How dare you?
I will take the opportunity to answer that question, but real quick. There are 10 beers up here on that table. And if you guys didn't go up there and read it, those are the name of 10 fallen officers that fell at the hands of criminals and gunfire doing their jobs. I'm not going to do a moment of silence. We're going to raise our beers and we're going to drink to them. And we're going to remember. Salute.
Salute.
And I'll answer your question.
Fair enough.
All right. Some people don't like the fact that a veteran is calling out other veterans. My answer to that would be, who else is going to police the veteran community other than veterans? So we're the ones who know the stories, and we're the ones that allow those false stories and narratives to be told. And, some people hear those stories, they don't like to hear that Rob O'Neill wasn't alone in the room with Bin Laden like he said he was. But the fact is that he wasn't. And, It's pretty straightforward that's stolen valor. If you said you did something that another SEAL did, and you're going to use that for fame and fortune, well, I got a problem with that. And so I say it takes a veteran community to police the veteran community.
I respect it a lot. I love it. You know, being from the bro vet community, right? A lot of us are, right? We're all like, yeah, the Article 15s, you know, we follow all of these guys. So when I listened to the show, there was a lot of guys that I'm a big fan of, and I'm like, no, you guys got somebody coming up next who's near and dear to my heart. He's an actual friend of mine. You guys got him coming up next, and I don't want to hear, I'm going to listen to it though, because I mean, this is what podcasting is. It's independent journalism, and I love it, and fair is fair, but you guys got Tim Kennedy coming up next. You've already done Marcus Luttrell, broke my heart. You did Rob O'Neill, broke my heart. Who are you going to go after next? Dakota. Oh, my God. What if he goes after Dakota Meyer? That's you guys'
fault. And we get requests. If you will, go after this guy, go after this guy. We're not going after people. Like, it's not like, oh, that's a famous veteran. They're all frauds. That's absolutely not the case. It is far and few between, and that's what makes it even, I think more atrocious that that if one person's lying about it, it makes people think, well, are they all liars? Who are the heroes to look up to? So we're not out there looking for things guys have done wrong. That's just absolutely not the case.
Believable, right? Like, I mean, and then when you start to dive into it, you guys are just kind of answering the questions that everybody's had. Now, this started out as a game, and you went from like 60 downloads to now you're clearing almost a million downloads on your show in the span of like 4 months. Yeah. Did you think it was going to blow up that fast? And what is the backlash that you guys are getting? And the praises, because honestly, you know, some of your view, you got, you know, hundreds of thousands of views on some of your clips, your reels, they're fabulous reels, by the way. But a lot of it is like positive stuff too. Did you think, obviously you knew you were going to get backlash, right?
Of course.
Like, you knew.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyler, you take that one. What was your perception of what you thought it would be and what you thought when I came with you with some of these ideas and stories that we were going to expose? What'd you think?
Rob O'Neill was a, half and half. A lot of people got bamboozled for 10 years straight, myself included, Eric included. No one's ever benefited from ever telling the truth, so why, right? You're not gonna make money out in Rob O'Neill, so why care? But we started this podcast, and it's funny because the Rob O'Neill thing happened because it was a couple episodes before you came on full time. You were a guest and you said, you know, Rob O'Neill didn't kill Bin Laden, but anyways, and we're like, whoa, 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 what? So you re-explained it. And then I cut that into a clip that said Delta Force calls out Rob O'Neill. And that went viral. And then you decided we're going to do an episode about this. And so that was like 50-50. And then what was the next one you did?
We did Roberts Ridge after that. I don't know if you guys know the story about Roberts Ridge with the Air Force controller that eventually won the Medal of Honor, right. Chapman. But the true story behind that is that everyone now knows the true story, and he did get the Medal of Honor, but it took the Navy fighting to cover that up because they left him alive on that mountain when they said, no, we left him up on that mountain because he was dead. And ISR proved he was still alive, and he still fought for his life for hours and hours. And he eventually got the Medal of Honor after the Navy tried to cover it up.
And that was one of the we talked about. Saddest stories. Every time I watch that video, I force myself to watch it every year. And it's almost like all the training you go through, whether it be police, academy, boot camp, like all of that it's preparing you for a day like that. I can't imagine how tired he was, how heartbroken he was, the amount of emotions he went through in that battle of being left behind, of being shot several times, of charging machine gun nests and surviving and having to keep going, only to be just disappointed over and over again. You've been through some of the world's craziest training. How does that correlate to an event like that when you watch it?
Man, nothing prepares you or ever will to be left alone. And I'm sure he thought for hours, they're coming. They're coming back.
Yeah.
Like the cavalry's coming. They know I'm here. And we did. And it's not a story people want to hear, but it's the truth. Because to me, the truth matters. The cavalry didn't come back for him, you know, and that was not everything we do in the military is right. I think we should talk about that and learn from that. And I don't care if that's, you know, the military law enforcement, like everything needs to be talked about, figured out, and how do we keep that from happening again? And covering it up and forgetting about it and hoping that wishing it didn't happen isn't the answer.
Well, whether you agree with it or not, you're a big fanboy of these guys, you aren't. The podcast is extremely entertaining. I think one of my favorite episodes so far was the cop turned porn star. I think one of my favorite quotes of all time from a podcast of all podcasts is when she said her dad watches content.
Her dad and her stepdad watch my stuff.
Yeah, my dad watches. Like, what did your parents think about it? Well, I think my dad's cool. He watches it. You know, when I was watching that, I almost dropped my coffee in my lap. The guests that you guys have had has been amazing. You've had some you've had Navy SEALs on. Who are some of the guests you guys have had on?
We'll talk about the conundrum that was CeCe Lee. We were right at the point where we needed to put out good content because we seek the truth, but we are entertainment. That's, if you're going to give us an hour of your week, I consider that entertainment. We're entertaining you to some point or the other. And we decided to bring on CeCe Lee, and we did the episode, and I felt dirty.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I wish I would have been a little more upfront about, how I felt about it. You know, I think if you watch that episode,
we support it.
Yeah. We didn't seem like we made a stance about it. And at the end of the day, I don't mind giving people a microphone that we disagree with, but I also don't mind having a healthy debate about it. So yeah, that's one. It's not that I wouldn't do it again. I'd do it differently.
Well, that's the fun thing about podcasts and independent journalism. A lot of these shows are not edited. Obviously, tonight's show is not edited. None of the shows that we do are edited. So you're getting raw content. Sometimes you're going to say things that you don't want to say or that you take back. But, that's what's the beauty about it, right? That's why I love podcasts. And I think that's why podcasts is growing exponentially and legacy media is dying. But we love you guys' show. What do you guys have in the bag coming up next?
Eddie Gallagher, we've covered some
seals. Oh, I have to know. Can I get a cheat on that? Did Eddie Gallagher commit war crimes?
No, he's not. Come on.
So I feel like we did our fair share of shitting on seals, and every episode that we have done with seals, no matter how many times I say it before the episode, hey, I've worked with Navy SEALs extensively. I've been with them in combat. They're great dudes. I would go into combat with Navy SEALs again. This isn't the minority of them. This is not who Navy SEALs are, but we have to address this. So to bring Eddie Gallagher on, which is a great story, and another great, well, it's a heartbreaking story. It's not a great story.
Yeah, it is.
But of a war hero that they tried to frame just because he was a savage doing savage things in war, just because those people, I think they want people like that to go away. I think they appreciate what they do when they did it, but when they're done with them, they're like, okay, you're no longer of use to me. And I think that's a little bit of what happened, because it was later on in the war when this happened.
That
it came out. So,
and it was a distraction at the time too, for some other political reasons, I think.
I think
a lot of the cops in this room can relate to it. You guys have heard, how many times you guys have heard that your use of force didn't look pretty? Like, it didn't look good. Like, I wish your use of force looked better. You know, at the end of the day, when shitbags do shitbag things, it gets a little chaotic, and it's not going to, it's never going to be pretty. I watched a clip today. It sparked a good debate on social media where they're on a greenway and there are bicyclists and joggers on the greenway. And the cop got a call that a out of control four wheeler was heading in their direction. Yeah. And the four wheeler is going extremely fast. And the cop pulls out in front of the four wheeler and the four wheeler smashes into the cop car. And of course the guy flies off of the four wheeler and everybody's like, these cops are murderers. But if the cop didn't do it, the guy just runs through a crowd of joggers and bicyclists.
Here's something else I want to say about the Eddie Gallagher story, and I'm going to get too much into it because you'll get the whole story when you watch. But not only was it a political clash to some degree, it was a cultural clash. And what I mean by that is you had newer guys, newer Navy SEALs that were part of this younger generation that you kind of had to cot. Like, they were upset about missing workouts because he wanted to go kill bad guys. And so you have this clash of an old school Navy SEAL that just wants to get after it, and these new guys that, literally didn't want to miss a workout. And that came to a head of, you know, well then we're going to deal with you. It kind of came it started from his own team because he was too aggressive. Right. Not that he was committing war crimes, because he was too aggressive.
I bet you there's some aggressive cops in here. Obviously, you guys signed up, but I think a lot of cops feel the same way. You want to go out and be proactive, and then you have the lazy cop that's jealous that you have the testosterone to want to be proactive, and all they want to do is write tickets to people going to their jobs on the Saturdays, right, which is what everybody hates. And then you have the cop that's wanting to go find the bad guy, and it's the cops that are always fucking with the people that don't need to be fucked with that try to make the good cops look bad. And it's crazy, and it's all relatable in all these fields. If you guys haven't checked out the Anti-Hero podcast, you can get them on Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, just super entertaining. They bring on experts, lie detectors. They really do a lot of work and a lot of homework. We've loved having you guys on the C-Minus Media Network. We hope you're there forever, but you guys are going so big. Time is limited, we know, but we're going to enjoy you while we have you guys. Also, Brent Tucker owns First Responder Cigar Company, and he also owns First Responder Coffee Company. Yep. You guys saw his table. It'll be there tomorrow for the last day. And so go and buy it, check him out, get your pictures. He'll be standing right over here if you guys want to get a picture with him. We got another guest to bring up, unless you have anything else, Brent.
No, thanks.
Our next guest, thanks, speaking of murders, we have a real murderer in the house. I forgot about that. That's how diverse Orlando is. We even have a murderer in the crowd. We have a cop who was charged with murder. Those charges were dropped, spoiler alert, but he was charged with murder and you went to fucking jail.
That's right, I did. I was on the yard.
You guys haven't watched this one, episode 59. The shit's insane.
This is insane. He's going to make his rounds through the C-Minus Media Network. He's on episode
5-9
of the Anti-Hero podcast. I want to get into the whole story. Conservative Ant is here, by the way. Conservative Ant, he's coming up next. Say hi to everybody. Hey! 1.4 million. We got Blake Reynolds coming up here too as well. So stay tuned for those guys. Big Blake Reynolds, all the way from Kentucky to see you guys. But this is Yusuf. Don't know your last name, Yusuf. I know it's Yusuf Hoffa.
Hafsa.
Close related to, yeah, Jimmy Hoffa some way or another. Yeah. I know that. Before we get into the whole story, I don't want to listen. I know what you guys are all thinking. Did you get fucked in prison?
No, I did not. I have a tight clinch, so no.
How long did you go to jail for this murder that wasn't a murder?
Well, I went to the county jail for about 3 months.
Holy shit.
Well, I mean, does everybody know his backstory?
Oh, with every good comic book, there's a backstory. Yusuf, give us the. Wait, is that Israeli or is that Palestine? Because we gotta. People are wondering. They're wondering. They're like, wait, is he?
Pick a side, Yusuf.
Pick a side, Yusuf. Yeah. I'm just kidding. We don't know. Show us the papers. Show us your papers, Yusuf. It sounds Jewish. I'm just kidding. I don't know if it's Jewish. It could be Hamas. I have no idea. He's killed people, folks. Relax. Okay. Houston, tell us the backstory of this homicide, this Southern Fried homicide, if you will.
So basically what happened is it was a road rage case where two individuals from a gang from the Bloods attacked me. They were upset about a stop sign that they felt disrespected by, and they pursued me. And it was two individuals jumped out the car and attacked me, and I shot and killed one of them in the road. And
I don't think we celebrate this enough. You know what I mean?
Yusuf was a cop. He was a Florida sheriff's deputy when this happened. He was off duty.
And, ten years on the job. No history of trouble. And the two individuals had a history of violence. And the individual that died was on probation the day he died for having a gun as a felon.
Oh my
God! SWAT search warrants, and he was arrested 2 months prior for having over 2,000 images of child porn.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Yusuf.
Jesus. Would you California roll a stop sign? They didn't like it?
Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah. They felt disrespected by it. And the driver testified during the trial that he pursued me because he wanted to confront me, and they were just going to fight me. They didn't know I had a gun. That was his statement.
Oh, good. Yeah. So you shoot this guy dead in the streets, mm-hmm. and they send you right to jail.
A couple days later, there was a lot of protests going on over the shootings, the police shootings, and state attorney's office told me that, the state of Florida said that they needed to talk to me and that I can get my stuff out of evidence, and I showed up, and they took me down. They had a fugitive team waiting for me, so they essentially set me up.
Which is crazy, because you would have just turned yourself in.
Exactly.
That's bizarre that they still do that to cops as like a protocol.
You know what sucks is that there was 10 cops, give or take, that agreed to do that.
Right, and that's the other thing, too, right?
No one was like, hey, we're not going to do this to one of our boys. Like, ask him to turn himself in or go, Yusuf, we got to take you to jail. Sorry, bro.
Like, but if you're rich, white elitist, they will just say, okay, we're going to do it in this day and this time, turn yourself in. But just because you're a cop, we're going to set up a sting operation.
Yep.
This is bizarre. So you check into jail. We got to keep it short. You can go into detail. There's a very long podcast on the Anti-Hero podcast channel, but just on the cliff notes here, your first night in jail, what are you thinking?
I'm just confused, scared, not really sure. I felt dishonored, betrayed by the law enforcement community. 10 years on the job, the media was slandering me, and I just felt alone. I felt heartbroken, and I felt angry. A lot of emotions inside.
How did you deal with it? I guess you don't have a choice, but was there a way? Did you compartmentalize it somehow?
I just had to hold on eventually through faith, and just I was in what's called isolation, so solitary confinement. I didn't have a window in my cell, and I never went outside. I went outside 3 times in 3 months and saw daylight. Other than that, I stayed in my cell all day, every day, 24 hours. I walked in circles. I slept a lot, and I just kept doing the same routine every day. And a judge denied my bond almost 3 times for no reason. I had ties to the community, never been in trouble. But the politics was so hot that they decided, fuck him, keep him in jail, and let him deal with it. And that's what they did to me.
You finally get the trial by jury. Which, yes. What is that? Like, is that your sixth? Somebody knows the Bill of Rights. It's been a while. Is that like your sixth amendment, your right to a speedy trial?
Six, unless it's a capital felony, you get 12. Right. So I had 6, and it was 5 years later.
5 years later? How long were you in? And you were in jail for 3 months?
I was in jail for approximately 3 months, but I was facing, it was a minimum mandatory of life in prison for the murder.
Oh my
25
God.
Years for the second degree attempted murder.
What?
And 15 years on a manslaughter. I had 3 charges hanging over me. They had to convict me on one, and I was going to prison, according to my lawyer.
And so you get your chance with a jury, which is never fun,
right?
Yep. That could go either way.
Absolutely.
And so the jury deliberates, and they come back not guilty.
Yeah, four hours of deliberation on all 3 counts.
4 hours.
Yep.
Which is not that long, actually.
No,
4 hours is pretty quick deliberation. Now, it's funny because us, what do they call podcasters these days? Sleuths, internet sleuths. That's the derogatory term for what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not independent journalists, we're sleuths. Yeah. I don't even know what that means. But the internet sleuths will say, quick deliberations mean guilty, but then half will say quick means not guilty. So come back in 4 hours. What were you thinking? Were you like, that's good or bad?
Fuck, I didn't know. I was tough to breathe. I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew that my life was clinging right there. It was going to be over. I didn't know. So to be honest.
So they come back not guilty. What was your first thought?
It was the best feeling in the world. I had to grasp my thoughts. And
dude,
put it together.
I bet you sex is weird after that. Like, you can't top that. Yeah. You could never do. Right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I finally got to say, let me kill this pussy, because I couldn't say it because I didn't want to say the word kill.
Right.
Before I was charged with it, so now I can finally.
Oh, I'm gonna kill this pussy. Yeah. When I get out,
I'm gonna murder this pussy.
Hey, honey.
But
that's toxic. So you get out. What's your first meal out?
A fucking pizza.
Pizza? Yeah. Oh, are you Italian?
No, I just I needed something other than the fucking bologna.
Oh, wait, is it flatbread? Yeah. I'm just trying to stereotype. I'm trying to profile.
No, I'm not. I wanted hummus.
Hummus and crackers. Listen, so now you're out. You're innocent. Go listen to the whole show. It's epic. What do you do? So you go back to the police department, which that's going to be weird, right? Like, all your friends? How did your friends react?
It was weird. They looked like they saw a ghost walking. When I actually did go back to the academy, got recertified, and I went back. I did about a year on the road on midnights.
So you get charged with murder, go to jail. You come back, still serve your community nobly. Yeah. You get out with nobly, right?
Yeah.
Which is, God, the intestinal fortitude. It's like something you can't even fathom. You've been, but go ahead.
The fact that you went back, not only to work, but you went out there and started being proactive again. Blows my mind.
Yeah, I built cases and I put people back in jail, and I wanted to make a statement that, you know, they were going to take shit from me and throw me out there and say, move on with your life. I needed to get back what I had before they took it from me.
Yeah.
And I needed to clear that, make sure everyone else out there knows when they're facing some hard times, you go back and take what's yours. Don't let them make the narrative for you. You dictate that. And that's what my purpose was.
Which I love it, because you're a big you're a Combat Iron Apparel is the company that you're pushing real hard right now. Tell us about your business and what you do now.
So now I left about a couple months ago, and now I have a tack gear store in Orlando, 4977 West Colonial Drive. It's called 1838 Tack Supply. I serve the law enforcement community, military now, but I do it in a different manner. So I sell gear ultimately, and I get to still attend events like Street Cop and other events that I'm going onto and supplying these guys with the gear that they need or that can make their jobs a little bit more safer.
You know, one of the things I noticed about this conference walking around today, going booth to booth to booth, officer privacy, first responder coffee, all these different booths, everybody has a story, and the story is powerful. There's a reason why these vendors are paying $1,500, $2,000 to be vendors at the thing. And it's not just because there's some slouches off the couch that want to make money off of first responders. It's personal to them. And that's why I think it's great to support our own. Listen, if you've got a friend in your department that's starting his own company, support him. Don't ask him for a free hat or a free shirt. If they're selling cigars, pay for your fucking cigar. Pay for a cigar and buy him a beer afterwards. Buy the shirts, buy the hats. Follow them on social media. Hit the likes. Hit the subscribes. It's really important. Yusuf, your story's incredible. You guys can find it on the Anti-Hero Podcast. Take a look. Coming up next, we've got probably my favorite gay friend. My only gay friend. I only have one gay friend, which proves I'm not homophobic. Some of you guys thought I might be. Conservative Anthony, I podcast with him every single week on the political news. He's a political commentator, influencer, 1.4
million followers. Guys, I don't know what happened. This is John, your podcast producer. Eric and the gang had such a good time at Mulligan's, they disappeared. It fell right off the face of the earth. It's definitely one of those conspiracy theories. Maybe YouTube took them down. Maybe they were having too good a time. If they drop more videos, any more content on here today, I'll make sure that gets uploaded. Otherwise, I'll let you go. Guns up, giddy up. See you next week.